Hey everyone, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Andrea, or as most people call me, Anj.
And this is Trendish. Thanks for joining us. Let's dive in.
So when was our last episode? Like, where was I in life? What date was that?
Well, in listening back to our last episode, you did reprimand me for not telling you we were live. So let me first say we are live.
Are you serious? You're so annoying. We're in pre-production. I'm like, remind me, what was happening in my life? Jamie, for the users then.
Yeah.
What were we doing? Where am I catching people up from?
Well,
where did we leave off?
Our final series, which we didn't even finish.
Yeah, I know. It's hilarious. I think I remember really telling people we would.
Yeah.
Like, don't worry, we'll be back.
It was good. It was about work. So I was kind of bummed we didn't finish that.
Well, today's a new day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's where we'll pick up where we left off.
I do want to share what was the one rule I had in coming back. I want to get it out there because I never want to hear it again.
I will.
No, do not spin it.
No, I'm not going to spin it. The one rule was that, how was it? I had to say that it wasn't only your fault that we stopped. The other thing I just want to say is that Jamie does live on a farm. Okay?
Oh.
So both of these things are debates we've had for the last 2 years.
Uh-huh.
And both of these things I will validate are true.
I have heard other people say I don't live on a farm.
I don't care. I'm the majority. Allison's not the majority vote.
That sounds prideful.
Whatever. If you also lived on a farm, you can't validate if somebody else lived on a farm or didn't. You know what I mean? It's just the common folk.
Allison did not live on a farm.
The fact that you can just tell me how many acres you grew up on.
I had to ask my dad.
Automatically constitutes that you live on a farm. Guess how many acres I grew up on, Jane?
One.
Don't even know. Probably a fourth of one.
I
or
live
a
on
quarter.
A fourth of one. I live on a quarter.
I grew up on like a half. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying.
Okay. Well, to reiterate, because I do feel like you propped that up in such a way where it wasn't focused on.
I know. I did. I'm really good at that.
Yeah, you are.
Just spin it into my own little.
It was not only my fault the podcast ended. I just want everybody to be aware of that acknowledgement because I'm never going to get that acknowledged again.
I am physically biting my tongue. So,
yeah. Thank you so much. And welcome back to Trendish. Some might call it Trendish 2.0.
2.0. We should add it. We should add it on.
2.0. No, I don't want to add it.
We're different.
Yeah.
Wait, so you never
Spirit,
got back to me.
Soul, mind, and body.
Mind, body. My gosh. 8 different iterations of a body since we probably last recorded. So wait, we haven't told me yet. When was the last time we recorded? Did I have Lorenz or did I not?
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. The last episode we came out with was August of 22.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, so I was just about to have Lorenzo.
And I got...
Wow, what did I say on that? I was probably real hormonal.
No, I told you. I said, honestly, we're awesome. Like, we had some good stuff to say about work.
I bet I had a lot to say. I was in a place.
Well, I was in a place too. I mean, I feel like that's half the reason why we just crumbled.
Stopped, yeah. Okay, so in some fairness to us, I guess I birthed a child a month after that.
Mm-hmm.
Not even. It may have been weeks after that.
Mm-hmm. I think we should even back up, though, because we only released probably a handful of episodes in 22. So, like, the podcast kind of died in 21.
Died. Had a fake resurrection and then really died.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, who have you become in 2 years?
That's too loaded of a question.
Yeah, I know.
What if we introduce ourselves? What if we introduce each other?
Okay.
Okay.
You go first.
Okay.
Because it was your idea.
So, hi, my name is Jamie Bofferding.
Oh, you're like literally going to pretend to be me. Got it.
I am the director of marketing, enrollment, enrolling, managing, recruiting, all events and things.
I wish everybody could see my face.
Were you? Mainly marketing, though. That's really my specialty. And events.
Uh-huh.
And all of it. Jack of all trades is how I would describe myself. Don't really climbed that Christian corporate ladder.
I climbed no ladder.
And I now also own a 1-year-old puppy. I'm still going to call her a puppy.
Oh,
Penny.
Yeah.
We cannot forget Penny.
No.
We are going to have some good laughs about Pen.
Oh, yeah.
Pen.
Yep.
As she's
Pig Pen.
Pig Pen on this podcast. Black, cute little black lab. Mm-hmm. Real skinny little thing. And she does feed her enough. She would want everyone to know that as well.
I would.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, since 2021. Wow. Did a lot of traveling. Mm-hmm. Went to Mexico and Peru? I don't know if we've recorded since you went to Peru.
I went to Peru in 2019, so.
Okay.
We have. That was literally before I had a podcast.
That felt like yesterday. Okay, so she's been to Mexico. We did go to San Francisco together. We went to the Dreamforce conference.
Yep. That was, we could talk about that trip for
yeah,
a while.
That could be one whole episode. If you were there, you know.
Yeah.
What a time.
Yeah.
And wow, yeah. Overall, I think has found a lot more peace. If I'm Jamie Bofferding from 2021, I think peace is more resounding. And so is my community.
How I came by that peace was hard and fast.
Through the fire.
Oh, man.
Through the fire.
Mm-hmm. More later.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a daughter. I'm a friend.
Okay, that's enough. I'm a sister.
You
literally just
I'm an aunt.
Your lip like, what else can I say? You're done.
An aunt to a new niece and three nephews.
Yeah.
You're the only one of us with a girl.
I have four nephews, actually.
Four. Oh my gosh, yeah, you do. Mm-hmm. So five nieces and nephews.
Yep.
That's like triple from what last time we recorded.
And if you count all the people that are like not by blood.
Yeah.
Many more.
Yeah. Yeah. So an aunt to all, a daughter to few, a friend to most.
Stop.
An employee to a couple.
What is this, a foreword of a book?
And a manager to many.
Most.
Myself included. I am Jamie Bofferding.
I'm not doing Cheers. Any of that for you, so.
Hey, that was fun.
Yeah.
What do you guys say about me, Jim?
I don't know. I'm trying to remember. Okay, so you had or had not had Lorenzo?
I had Lorenzo in September of 2022.
Yeah, so you were ripe.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I sure was. I was ready.
Mm-hmm.
Ready to call it quits.
So you had a second child. I remember bringing you your first meal in the hospital, which was Euros by Ali. I felt like that was weird. I felt like that was a weird choice.
Okay, but you're not telling the people I had gestational diabetes, remember?
Yeah. Well, there's a lot.
Just so humbling. And so I couldn't eat, like, anything for
Except
months.
Euros.
But, like, I couldn't eat french fries, and something about a french fry and the Euro just sounded so good together.
Yeah, that
and
salt.
Mm-hmm. To be fair, too, it was also one of the only places open. I don't know if you remember that.
I do.
So that also was a factor.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was happy to do it. So, yeah, your life has just been a whirlwind since then.
Yeah, man, with Lorenzo came just...
Whew. Oh my gosh, that kid is the opposite of Liam in every way.
Every way.
He is your sportsy guy.
Yeah.
Liam is your artsy...
Mm-hmm. Artsy.
Sensitive soul.
Yep.
And I feel such a kindred spirit to him.
Yeah. Lorenzo, on the other hand, is an insensitive troll.
Oh my
God. I mean,
like, we wonder where he gets it, but we don't. We really don't.
The faces he makes. Gosh, if this was a video podcast, I'd be having the people rolling right
he
now
is
with the faces. Did
so cute.
Oh, he's something else.
So besides that, you still have a dog, Nugget.
He's still alive,
and we wouldn't know it because we don't hear about him.
No,
usually he's begging for food because they forget to feed him.
Yeah,
you've had a fish for a year.
I have. Sheldon.
Sheldon. We went shopping for stuff for Penny, and we walked out of there with
yes.
the fish.
Penny's birthday is basically Sheldon's birthday. That's so true.
One of the two have a little bit more of a high-maintenance personality.
I'm actually not sure which one.
It's Penny. Honest. Yeah, it's Penny, if we're
Sheldon was high-maintenance at first. Remember all the, like, heaters we were buying him, and then the new food, and
you
then he had too many
high
toys.
Maintenance about Sheldon.
Sheldon was, like, Googling all the facts.
Yeah.
Whatever we did, we never touched him again, and it worked, so.
Yeah.
He's just kicking. Uh-huh. Alive and thriving.
You are the CEO.
Yeah.
Is that your current title?
Because yeah.
You did mention you were the chief experience officer.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, now it's just, so that was when I was a CXO. That was short-lived, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Clean that up. We clean that up pretty quickly.
What does the CEO stand for? Because I don't want to assume.
The normal E executive.
You guys have weird stuff over there.
Yeah, no, it's a normal E. Chief Executive Officer. We've tried to streamline most titles, you know.
Yeah.
CEO, Director of Operations.
That's good. Make them marketable.
Director of Experience and Engagement may be the biggest stretch of one, but there's no other way to really encompass what she does, you know. So.
Yeah. You got certified in Gallup.
I did, strengths. Yeah, Strength Finders. So you've been... If you want to know about Strength Finders, yeah. Hit me up.
Yep, she can give you a... Maybe we could do a...
I could talk about it in my sleep, to be honest. Yeah.
A little 10% discount, you know, as they do on podcasts.
I actually could.
Well, look at that. You really want to.
I actually could. I mean, if you're going to pay me for it, I'll take the money.
And I think the other thing is, like, you've kind of become a little interior designer.
I've been doing a lot of remodeling these
days. You're, like, in your bathroom, like, painting cabinets.
Yeah. I sealed the holes of those things. You remember that?
With
Quickwood? I didn't know what Quickwood was 2 years ago. I could tell you that.
Yep.
No, I do.
You're on medication?
Yeah. Wow, okay, yeah.
I'm just thinking about
jumping into the deep stuff.
I'm just thinking about things that have changed in that half.
Yeah,
I'm still on medication.
Yeah, so that hasn't changed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other, like, big pivotal things?
I don't know.
That I'm missing?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm still married. I feel like you gotta tell people that.
Well, I almost did, and then I was like, well, I want people to just assume that, but I guess
well,
you
we
can.
Know what happens when people assume these things.
It's true.
You know?
Yeah, you are still married.
Still married, same person. Yep. Should clarify that, too.
We're still hanging out pretty much every Friday night, door dashing and watching TV.
We would all love to move into a Nintendo Switch on those Friday nights and start bonding in that way. So if you'd like to contribute to that.
I'm not contributing to the purchase, but I would contribute in playing.
Yeah, I'm sure you would. When you said, no, we need this today, John was like, so, like, what's going to be her contribution? Like, is she going to drop 10? Is she going to drop 20? I was like, she's not going to drop anything.
My contribution is babysitting your children.
Yeah, to be fair, I did tell him that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair. Yeah. No, that summer is it doing a lot of traveling.
Mm-hmm. To, like, the boondocks of Arizona.
The boondocks of Arizona.
New Mexico.
Sometimes a cool place, sometimes not. The boondocks of Arizona has its high highs and low lows. So,
uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I guess we could answer some of these questions.
Yeah. You may have answered a couple of mine for me, but we'll dive a little deeper.
Do we want to, like, share maybe, like, why we're coming back?
I'm coming back because Jamie called me about a month ago and said, I'm ready. I have some things to say. And I said, okay. So that's why I'm back. So Jamie, do you want to share?
I don't know, Anj. I feel like I just did not have the capacity. I'm not sure that I have it now, but I do feel like it was a season.
Mm-hmm.
To walk through, and I think there was some things I needed to process, not on a microphone. And I don't know that I could have held back if we kept up. I think I would have said some things I probably would have regretted.
Yeah.
That would have just been out there in the world wide web forever.
Yep.
So I feel, you know, what do they say? Like, what does Brené Brown always say? Like, if you're getting affirmation
mm-hmm.
from people's response to your pain,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
She says it way more.
Yeah, I don't think she
way
says it
more eloquently
quite like
that. No, it's... I'm summarizing.
I may have it in my phone. I'm
yeah,
look
you
while
probably
you keep
do. And so I think I just didn't want that to be my experience. I didn't know it at the time. Like, obviously, that wasn't like a conscious thought of me to be like, I should probably stop talking on a podcast. It was... not that overt.
And you know, what we know about you and your Strength Finders now.
What do we know?
That all makes us a lot of sense. Slow processor. Slow to process.
But you also had, like, just had another baby.
I shouldn't have been on a mic. I stayed away from it. There was actually a whole year. I do speak a lot more now, and I'm on a different podcast. So, hey, if you miss my voice and this thing goes awry and we don't come back for another 2 years... you can hear my voice on the Good Leader podcast. Find it somewhere. I don't know. I think it's everywhere. I don't know. I don't do that part.
She doesn't do that part. Everybody hear I just me. Talk. She talks, and that's her contribution.
Very different than this style. So, man, yeah. Just be warm. Different.
Less vulnerable?
It's about leadership, so it's very in the leadership lens. And, you know, Jared's on it, so it's just a very high energy.
One other thing
that's... But it's funny, honestly. I think we're pretty funny, so if you're into laughing.
I mean, we're pretty funny, too, so...
We are. We're different. We're different funny.
Yeah. One other thing that's very different about you.
Uh-huh.
You have about 5 more tattoos than you did previously.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. But that might be one of my questions that you just also answered as well. I have 6, actually. 6 more tattoos.
So you have 7 total?
7 total, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think. I haven't counted in a while.
It's like every day she's like, I think I'm going to get this tattoo. And I'm like, okay, cool. Like, it happens yeah, so frequently she's now. I'm literally she's like, care. Awesome.
It used to be like, are we sure we want that? Are you sure that's that where we want?
That was not me. Somebody else was like that.
I have a hand tattoo, for those of you who don't know. That one really gets the people.
Yeah.
It's pretty prominent, too. So, again, it's not video, but...
It did get the people.
Yeah.
Okay. It
did. People thought I was going through a crisis. Fun fact about that. If you were someone who, you know... We still know each other, and you maybe thought I was going through a crisis and I got all those tattoos.
Yeah, let's clear it up.
Let's really clear it up. For real. We were not recording at the time. However, I got 3 tattoos at once because the guy I went to, really like, he's awesome. He has a
Bruce.
He has a $200 an hour minimum, right? So if I walk in and I get one little tiny tattoo, it is going to be $200. Mm-hmm. If I walk in and he does 3 tattoos within that hour, it's going to be $200. Mm-hmm. I knew the next 3 tattoos I wanted, so, like, why would I not just get them at once?
You know?
It was literally the efficiency thing. It was no, like, wow, you're going rogue. But to people,
it was like, oh my gosh, is Ange going out the deep end? She just all of a sudden is, like, getting tattoos left and right.
And I will say the first tattoo I got, at least visibly, was on my hand. So that is kind of risky, but mm-hmm. I knew what I wanted. It was for my kid. So it just fit.
Yeah.
So I feel like, yeah, we need to clear that one up. However, I say all that to say there was a time I was in the same boat as Jamie. I just didn't need to be speaking. I didn't need to be leading. I didn't need to be talking. I probably went about a whole year of just none of that.
Do you want to know? I feel that 95% of the time.
About yourself?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't need to be talking?
That I don't want to be in a place of, like, influence.
Yeah, I do know that.
Okay. I just,
is that rhetorical?
Like, no. I guess I was curious if you actually did know that. Because, like, there's a lot of times where I'm like, I don't want people to look at me and, like, that be on me of, like, how I led them in that way.
Yeah. And I'm like, just put it on my back. Give it another scar. You know? Like, it'll heal over time. I'll carry the team. throw them on there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. I can take it. What's one more, you know?
Yeah.
So we're different. We really balance each other out in that way. Like, no, you don't actually have to do that. And then, no, Jamie, you really could do that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. The self-esteem
is
different. It's
some good. Our self-esteem is very different.
Arguably, you have more and I have less. Uh-huh. And we'll just leave it there. Uh-huh. Okay. So we kind of already talked about significant changes.
Yeah, true.
Any significant challenges you've faced since the last time we recorded?
Huh?
Oh, I missed it.
Do you want to go first?
No.
Challenges. Wow. Yeah. Well, you know, my new work role around the same time of being a mom to 2, that's kind of a challenge in and of itself. Mm-hmm. But honestly, like, my company and boss are just really so great about, like, work-life balance as much as they can be given the role I'm in. And so I'm just very grateful for that. So, but that definitely was and still is a challenge. I travel more than I ever have. And so that's definitely a challenge, being a parent, being a mom, being a wife, all that stuff. Mental health was definitely a challenge.
I'm like, when are we going to get there?
Yeah, honestly, that might have to be a whole different episode for another day when I'm ready to share. But yeah, I had, like, really had to go down the trenches of mental health mm-hmm. in a lot of different ways.
Okay, yeah, we can have a whole episode about it, but I do have a question.
Yeah, it'd be easier if you just had a question I could just answer.
I mean, to give people a little bit of context, like, Anja and I went to San Francisco to a conference with 2 of our close friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Anj, on multiple occasions, I was like, are you breathing?
Uh-huh.
Like, do you need to take a breath right now? Like what is happening with you? Like, what's going on? Then you just had so much anxiety. Like, uh-huh. you weren't sleeping, but you were on a sleeping pill at that time. I think you're on trazodone.
Mm-mm.
You weren't?
No. Gosh, my life got better when I had that. Huh. No, remember I was like listening to my Calm app.
Oh, I remember we shared a room and you forced me to listen to that crap.
I was listening to waves, sound, the beach, someone talking me to sleep. I was doing everything I could possibly do. I was like, just let me fall asleep. Yeah, that trip was...
It was almost like your rock bottom.
That whole season of my life was hard, that whole fall.
So my question is, do you feel like that trip almost was like enlightening to what you needed to walk into? Like, I felt like it was like you were almost seeing yourself through other people's eyes.
No. What's crazy is actually getting a little better at that point, which I think is why I let you all see me that way.
Like, you did not want to.
No, I didn't, but I'm sharing a room with you. And I'm just trying to breathe on my bed. No, actually, the trip where I was like...
Like, there was a couple times where I was like, are you out of breath?
I was like, I'm just breathing, Jamie.
Like, did we, like, walk fast or something?
Oh my gosh, it was such a good trip. It's so hard in so many different ways. But, no, the trip that actually really did... like that got me was, you remember, it was a few months before that, I think it was like July, and John and I went to Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And you know, to be fair, work was already stressful. It turned out it was actually only going to get more stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know at the time, but it was already to that point as well. And so there was just a lot, and I was also a newer mom still of the two kids, and I don't know, there was a lot going on. I don't know what the cause was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember being in Mexico. And I think it was that trip with John where I was just trying to, like, catch a break. Like, I just remember that was, like, I was like, I don't care what we do. I don't care what we see. I don't care who we meet. If I could just, like, catch a break, that'd mm-hmm. be great. We land and I get COVID. I mean, you couldn't have made it up. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so...
I quit.
I really did. I remember that being the point where I was like... I didn't know. I just did not know then what I know now in terms of like, oh, when you feel this way, that really means this. Like, oh, when you feel that way, like that's, I think it was actually you who a few months later was like, I'm hearing just a lot of like hopelessness, Ange. And I remember thinking to myself, like, is that a word? Is that a feeling? Like, do I feel hope? Is that something you can like feel?
Yeah. And we know that that's not your strength.
Yeah. Just like anger, you know, anger, maybe sad, but those two are about where I live.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing what I know now, I was like, wow, I had a lot of feelings. Hopelessness was definitely one of them, lots of it. And on that trip, I had like 4 panic attacks. One really bad on the way back to the airport, but another one when I was on the beach. And it was so interesting because I was like having this panic attack. And I still think to this day, John doesn't know. So hey, he'll find out now. But he knew about the other ones. But this specific one, I like felt it coming on and I just left. We were on the beach and I just like said I was going to the room and I left.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this like whole panic attack like by myself in our room.
Do you like know what your panic attacks like? Are they about something?
No, that's what was getting me is I was like, what is even going on? Like I'm at arguably a beach is like my favorite place in the world.
Yeah.
You know, arguably. My favorite place in the world. Mm-hmm. I am, there is like not any, you know, kind of like pressure. There's no mm-hmm. one I'm like trying to perform for. Nothing. There is no reason to be having this. And it was always the times that there was no reason, quote unquote, in my head.
Yeah.
A therapist would be like, Andrea, you have her. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. But like in my head at the time, no reason to be having a panic attack that they would happen. It was like the second I let my body just like still, they would happen. So then I avoided that at all costs too. Mm-hmm. Also that's not great. Wouldn't recommend.
I want a rabbit trail off of that later.
Okay, great.
Not in this moment because I don't want us to get derailed.
I'd be fine with us getting derailed. Anyway, I was in that room. I had already been thinking about medicine a little bit and I don't know if I remember thinking like that was going to be like a sign of weakness or I actually thought I was being dramatic. I think that's what it was. Like, Andre, you are not that bad. Like, stop. You're being so dramatic. You do not need medicine. You don't. And I just remember like, honestly, not a lot of times I could say this in my life, but I literally remember feeling like, who knows, but feeling like God said to me, like, you will not be able to be close to me without that. Like, your brain is too, mm-hmm. you need more help than you need. But I also really clearly remember feeling it was not only going to come from medicine. Like, mm-hmm. medicine is not going to be your only fix. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to have There's very little I remember about that day and that time, but I very clearly remember walking out of that room thinking, like, community in medicine, and you're going to want one without the other, and you're just not going to get, like, you have to do the medicine with the people. You may want even the people without the medicine, but, like, you have to do. And so by the time we got to San Francisco, now in September, I'm, like, wrestling with all of that. So I had started medication. I hadn't started the sleeping one, but I had started medication, which was not working yet. Mm-hmm. In fact, it felt worse.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Because you were, like, not consistent about when you took it.
Yeah.
And, like, that's the number helpful. One. Yeah.
To be fair, you know, my guy at the time told me it didn't matter when I took it. So I don't know if he was right.
Yeah. Your guy? My guy? No.
Well, I go to a girl now. Different girl.
Great.
Shout out to
her.
We
love the girls.
Hit me up if you need help. Yeah. Love her. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that was the trip. The trip I was on with you was when I was literally at what you said, rock bottom, where I was just like, I don't even, whatever. I guess I need people and I need medicine. So I have medicine and apparently I have these people. See what you want to see.
We saw it. Yeah, we saw it.
That was a hard time though.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's also hard to watch. You know, it's never fun to like watch your people like suffer like that and not even be able to articulate it yet.
Yeah, I couldn't.
That's really hard to figure out how to be there for somebody.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are a lot of people that have been on that side of the coin.
Mm-hmm. It didn't even feel like very long ago it was the other side of the coin where like we had like somehow switched roles in that way. Not the same. Like our experiences were different, but still like, yeah, different.
Yeah, very. So. Yeah, so that is a challenge.
That was a challenge, yeah. There's more challenges I could go into in my life, but that, among many others happening at the time, was one, for sure. Yeah. How about you?
Yeah. I just don't know that... I don't know why I did not realize that, like, failure was such a big part of my life. Or that feeling of failure.
Maybe. Like the fear of it? Fear of failure was such a big part?
Yeah, the fear of it. Yeah. Like, I didn't know I cared so much.
Yeah.
But I do. Really do.
Yeah.
And I feel like I have looked failure in the face the last few years. And it is so painful. And so challenging. And... man, that will cause you to have some anxiety. And yeah, I think this, it was just a crumbling of some things in a lot of ways. And honestly, I feel like I'm still working through some of that. And that I would say is a big challenge that I faced in the last few years that I just didn't know how to walk through well. When we were not recording anymore. I don't know how to articulate it differently than that.
Do you have, like, one specific challenge that, like, sticks out that you'd be willing to share?
I don't know if I have, an instance I would want to share about yet. I think I could share that, like, I feel a lot of failure in work.
Uh-huh.
I think I take a lot of pride in my personal life and the relationships I've built and just the community I've cultivated here. And I feel like I, you know, even in dating relationships that I had this year, like, that was ever more clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in a workspace, I don't know. I think I'm still processing some of it, but I was even thinking earlier today, like, I just don't think I had to work that hard. Growing up, like, I did not try in school, and I got good grades, and so now I'm like, I can't skirt by the same way and still get the same results and not feel the responsibility of, like, people's emotions or their experience or the product we put out. Like, those are pivotal real things that if I don't give my best, like, they fall through the cracks and I have to take ownership of that responsibility.
Yeah.
And I just didn't have that growing up. Like, I really could just, for lack of a better term, like, kind of show up half-assed and and still be on top in some ways. So,
I understand that.
So I think I'm just understanding and learning like what it means to fully show up, and I just care so much about people and myself. Like I don't want to sit with that failure and stuff. So I think,
yeah. But I think also what's interesting with you is like I have only ever seen you deem failures in your life when it affects other people. Does that make sense? Like if you were to just fail, even at work, in something that truly only affected you, it's like almost not even heard of. Like you breeze over it. Mm-hmm. It's like when it involves literally anyone else or letting anyone else down or causing more work for like anyone else, that's like where the relationship side of you is like, you can't get past it almost.
I mean, like, literally brings me to tears.
Here we are, episode one. Jamie's already crying.
I mean, I think it's the empathy in me that, like, I hate letting people down. And for me to even hear that, like, somebody's like, yeah, maybe that didn't go according to plan, but, like, you didn't let me down, that's hard for me to accept. So, anyway, I think that's been something I've really been wrestling with over the last few years. I'm not on the other side of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I've done it enough times now.
Yeah.
That, like, I know what to anticipate.
Yeah.
My body physiologically is going to do, and how people are going to react, how I'm going to react. So, like, I think it's helped to, like, temper the big emotions of it a little bit. So.
Oh, yeah. I would say you for sure hold it better now than you were 2 years ago. For sure. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a lot of factors to that, but none of us are really on the other side of anything.
No.
So.
No.
There we have it.
Yeah. So we've answered one question of 10.
I had no thoughts we were going to answer. I was like, I'm not even going to look at these and pretend to answer them because Jamie's going to pick like 3 for us to actually answer, and it's going to be the 3 I'm not ready for. So we're just freestyling.
Yeah, we are. Updates on relationships. Any new connections, shifts in dynamics? I have things that I could talk about, obviously.
Yeah, you should start here.
Okay.
Then me clarifying, I am still married, which I've already done.
Yeah. Well, there are other relationships in your life.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm still dating.
Uh-huh.
Kind of. It's horrible out there in them streets.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was about to say, wait, no, by that, she means she's still on the market. So, like, if you're interested, make your move, shoot your shot.
Yeah, I think 98% of the people that listen to this are girls.
Maybe. Well, if you're the 2% of the males out there and you're interested in shooting your shot, I'm setting you up.
A couple guys that listen, but
shout out to you, homeboys.
Yeah,
way to empower women.
Yeah, share with your friends. We're not trying to be a female podcast only. I really surprised myself this summer.
Yeah,
and learned a lot about, you know, the dating pool.
Uh-huh.
It changes. We know this. The older you get, the more unique it gets. But I also learned that if you like a person enough, you will be okay with the circumstances or the baggage that comes with them.
Yeah, for
like
sure.
Like dating somebody with kids or in a different city, like very much my experience.
Yeah.
That was fine with me. But also coming to terms with like, is it worth everything I've built? And so, yeah, just a lot of, I think I gained a lot of clarity about, like, I don't want to move for somebody if there's nothing else attached to it. I need there to be some mutual compromise there.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I would say that would be, like, a new development for me is, like, I'm not necessarily completely closed off to dating somebody that has kids or has been married before. I wasn't ever really closed off to that. But, or maybe somebody that's not in Tulsa, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So just being more open to maybe not the traditional style of dating.
Which is actually a pretty good big step for you because you said I was never really closed off to that. But I think me and a few friends would say, oh, I can remember the times.
I will
not date someone with kids or like XYZ, I think.
Like how
I do
many
think
times
all the different turmoil in your life has brought you to, I'm open.
how many times did I say I don't want to wake up tomorrow and have an 8-year-old?
Yeah.
And the guy I dated had an 8-year-old.
Yeah. I always felt like, man, God's just working on her humility, her pride. Oh my God. Regardless of where this goes, I think.
There's no pride left.
And no, it reminds me of what we always tell Liam, like, you know, you can do hard things. You just need to be reminded of that. Like, I don't know if it's in your future, but you could do it if you needed to.
Yeah.
You have a lot of practice with a lot of our kids, so.
I do. I don't really enjoy dating.
Like, I wouldn't either.
The dating apps are horrid.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Not dating like that. I would not be interested.
Yeah. You mentioned community.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you still have it here?
Yeah, I do. I think, if anything, over the time, like, of maturing, you know, whatever, in life, I always felt like I needed to have more community for it to be rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've just learned I need to be really honest with the community I have and let it go deeper than it was.
Mm-hmm.
And that's enough for me. And, like, that's, it's not, oh, I made friends with, like, 3 new people this year, so now I have a better community. I've done that. It's actually not true. It's like, I could be more intentional with the 3 friends that I do have this year.
Yeah.
And I actually feel like I have
a
deeper community. And that was kind of a hard lesson, because that's not really quite what culture tells you, I think. Like, I think it's kind of counter, like the opposite. But honestly, like, I think it was my therapist says to me, but she's like, you do not have margin. You do not have margin in your life to be a good friend to 12 people. You do not. You are going to let someone down. Well, you're going to let someone down no matter what.
Yeah.
But you're, like, really going to let people down, overpromise, and be spinning your wheels on, like, these boundaries that you're not even going to be able to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because you cannot be a good wife, friend, mom, boss, employee even, and do everything that those 12 people need. Like, you just can't. And so you have to be okay with that. And I think for the last 2 years, it was coming to accept that has actually changed my community. Like, that is true. Not that I wouldn't invite other, I actually have gained, like, other friends, and relationships change and friendships change, and that's okay. I think I've very much come to terms with understanding that too over the years.
Yeah.
And so obviously there's ebbs and flows of all of them, but I'm not, the more is not the merrier in my mind and heart lately.
No. Yep.
I just don't have the space for it.
No.
I wish I did, but
I love to meet new people. I love to find a new friend, but I am not, like, longing for new friends.
Yeah. And that's the thing, if they fit, they fit. Like, I think I know when it's a natural, like, oh, it's another, I don't know, it's a mom and our kids play together, and that's, like, our mutual connection, and I'm not leaving my family to go be friends with them and having to, like, create and force this other life that isn't actually natural to what I live.
Yeah.
It is, especially, I think, like, in the, I don't want to say mom, I don't want to say work, I don't think it's, like, only one group of people that feels that. I think it is really felt across the board. But I would just say, like, if you're constantly trying to find that in a circle that you don't naturally live in, it's just hard. It's not authentic. And so,
Or just accept that, like, it's not going to be convenient.
Yes, it's definitely not going to be convenient.
If that's what you want, great, you can have that, but it is not going to be convenient.
No, it's not. And even with, like, my great friends, it's not. But that's the point. That's why I only have, like, very few really close friends who would know me that well.
Yep.
Number one, because the whole world doesn't need to know me that well. Number two, that's just, I want to be able to show up, and I can only give inconvenient parts to my life to a handful of people without, again, taking away from those who actually need me the most.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, we're still the same.
Yeah, here we are, still doing this podcast, still setting aside the time at late hours of the evening.
Which is arguably more inconvenient for me and my bedtime. Which reminds me, we went to a movie with a friend and one of her friends recently.
Yeah.
And the way she described us was like an old married couple, which is not the first
time. This is Jamie and Ange, they're an old married couple. I was like,
I think people say that because we bicker a lot, which is, you know, what you see here on this podcast.
Honestly, like, if you're going to be friends with me, you're going to bicker. I cannot think of a person in my life who I'm not going to, like, pick some kind of, like, fight with, you know, not a person.
Lauren?
Allison? Well, Allison, I will definitely... I just got to pull up my sleeves, and then that alone will get her.
Gosh.
Those are picking fights in different ways. Yeah. Lauren, I just troll.
No, you just... It's fine. It's fine. I don't want that.
She was going to say, you just pick fights with me. That's what she was going to say. Yeah. It's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, Olivia, Lindsay, pick fights with all of them.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Olivia more than anyone.
Yeah.
All well, we do Olivia is yell.
Can handle it.
Yeah.
I love that girl. Anything else you want to say on relationships?
No. Find your people.
Yeah. Have your goals or priorities shifted or evolved?
Oof. Yeah, I don't even know what my goals were in 2021.
You just, like, looked older. Like, I just, like, saw you age in front of me.
Yeah, the way my mind went? Oh, yeah, wow. Have yours?
Yes. I still can't define them.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about right now. That could be a good episode comeback. I might have wiser, better things to say at that time.
Yeah. What about plans or aspirations for the near future?
I would say the same thing I just said. Still working that one through.
I would say something is shifting for me.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is, but I definitely feel there's something on the horizon.
Mm-hmm.
So that's exciting to me. I think. I think there's been a lot of sameness in my world.
Yeah.
So.
Who knows what, but
sometimes I just want to. Stay tuned. Sometimes, you know, I just want to quit and manage a restaurant.
Be a barista.
Not that. I want to, you know, I want to.
You could, but your anxiety would be equally as high. Probably if not more.
Oh, yeah. I'm not foreign to the fact that, like, mental health is going to get better somewhere else. Like, I know. I am who I am,
and yeah.
That will remain regardless of the location of work or
yeah. But that's a word to the people. If you are struggling,
yeah,
oof, it's more than just your job. Let me tell you,
yeah, it's true.
Yeah, yeah. I did recently, like you said, get certified in strengths, like coaching. Technically, is what it's called, strengths coaching, with Gallup. And so I think, like, with Paradigm Shift, which is the company I work for and manage, currently we're sitting in a better spot than we have been since I've worked there. And so I guess I'm hesitant to say feeling hopeful about the future, but feeling hopeful overall.
Mm-hmm.
And I have felt even my role shifting within that as well, where for a while it was, like, really, you know, clean stuff up, problem solve in the moment, a lot of immediate issues. I'm very much feeling that shift of, like, no, like, you have to actually, like, grow yourself, the team, like, make the decisions no one wants to make. I've always felt that, but this feels more long-term, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so the decisions just feel, like, bigger in the sense that it's not going to change immediately. And so even some patience with that, but allowing myself and my role to change in those ways, meaning then also allowing the roles beneath me to change as well. I just feel like delegation, like, without authority is actually just, like, task management, and I'm not really interested in that.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time I had to be honest, but I'm not feeling that anymore. And so, you know, like, how you actually grow those people, it's cute to, like, read books and say, like, oh, I like to grow people or decide whatever your world is in that, but it's a whole different thing when you're actually doing it. And when they, like, fail a lot of times.
Oh, yeah.
As I have. I mean, my gosh, my boss could be like, I don't know why I am where I am, but...
Well, and people are unpredictable. Like, there is no same two people out there, so to assume, like, people are going to respond the same way is not the case.
Oh, yeah. What works for one doesn't work for the other. Yeah. How you manage one isn't how you manage the other. I do, like, weekly meetings with all of them. Every single one of them are different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is none that... I've even tried to create a structure where they should be pretty similar and the same. They are not. So, you know, just coming to accept that about people and about the time that you give and where you put that time. I've had to be a lot more okay with that openness in my time.
Yep. Last one. Any major milestones or achievements you have reached? I don't have an answer to this, but, you know, I'm, like, really bad at saying what I'm proud of and stuff.
Yeah. I think you should say more.
Well, I didn't really talk about Penny.
Pig Pen.
I got a puppy last November. Penny. She's a black lab, and she's a little shit.
Yeah, she was cute, but really hard.
Oh my gosh, that
was really hard.
She had so much, like, okay, let me just say, like, I grew up with black labs, I grew up with dogs, like, I did not talk about, like, dogs that had medication and, like, that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not knocking it, like, to each their own, but, like, that was not the family I grew up in.
No.
So, like, I was not about to have, like, a dog on anxiety medicine. I still don't. Penny's not on anxiety medicine. But
she needed some good THC there.
She had very bad separation anxiety and, like, food aggression. So I decided to send her to training. She went to boot camp for, like, 3 weeks, and I sent her to the place where the police dogs train. Because I just, you know, if I'm going to spend the money, I'm going to spend it.
Yeah, and you sure did.
And spend it I did. But she came back an angel.
She really did. I mean, I walked in today and she just kind of sniffed me. I was like, are you okay? Did you just eat?
I my heart just, like, bursts. I love her so much. Like, it is so fun to come home to somebody that is thrilled to see you.
Thrilled. Yeah.
Like, how many times do you come home and John's thrilled to see you?
Oh, John never, but Lorenzo always.
Right.
Lorenzo always.
You know, it's just, like, so fun to be popular to somebody. Yeah.
Mommy!
So, that has been a journey.
Yeah.
I truly do miss her when I'm not with her. She's a lot more responsibility. I can't just, like, pick up and gallivant around, which is unfortunate, and she's expensive, but, man, I love her.
Yeah, we're better for
her. We are better for her.
1 whole year.
Yeah. So, she is small and slender. Some might say she's too slender, but we're working on it.
I don't feel like I can see her ribs anymore, so I don't really, like, I haven't looked at her lately and thought dosage again. Yeah.
I mean, that chick, she just doesn't keep weight on.
Yeah. Man, wish we all had that problem.
I know. You know? I mean, I told this to Andre earlier. I said, one of us in this family needs to be athletic and, like, sleek.
Currently, it's Penny.
Andre asked me the other day, or no, we need to talk about our colors before the end of this podcast.
Because you all have commented I look good, and let me tell you, I don't. I'm just wearing the right color. That is all it is.
Okay, so is there any milestones you want to talk about before we end this podcast?
I mean, we kind of already talked about them a little bit. Like, I guess, like, CEO's milestone still doesn't really feel like that's exactly what it is, but that's having milestone. Having a second kid. We got a fish.
Being still married.
Honestly, still being married is a milestone.
Because we're a lot, like, of people that ain't still married.
Yeah, we have been together for, like, 9 years or something.
It's amazing.
I mean, crazy. So, and thriving. I feel like I should say that. Some people are like, well, yeah, how are you doing, though?
Yeah. No, you guys are great. I'm with you every week, and sometimes I can't breathe because I'm like, whoa, what's happening? Most of the time, I'm like, oh, this is so fun. We're besties.
We've gotten a lot better. We've had a lot of therapy, if anyone's wondering. That's really the only... We just finished painting our bedroom for the first time. We did not have a single fight. John and I did not have a single... In 2 days together, painting a bedroom.
It's kind of prerequisite for, like, a project.
I mean, yeah. Like, I really expected to. I was like, here we go.
Yeah.
We got a little snippy with each other once when we were both hungry and arguing who was going to eat first. Uh-huh. Well, just a little snippy. Mm-hmm. But honestly, that's good for us. So yeah. I count it as no fight.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, certifications, all the work things. So, no, nothing crazy. Not anything that I don't want to talk about. Those are
huge. Those are literally huge.
Yeah, sure. It's good stuff. Hit me up sometime if you want to hear about them. It's a fun time.
Okay. So,
but nothing compared to our colors.
Okay. So, Lauren has been talking about her colors for a while.
Mm-hmm. And I did laugh at her.
Yeah. You know.
Well, I laughed at her for how much she paid and all the colors looked the same.
If you're unfamiliar, like, everybody has a season of the year.
Of, like, colors.
Of colors. That is, like, we're what so they gonna look butcher best this. In. Yeah. Neither of us have, like, been certified in this or, like, have
or
taken
even had it done.
Test, but, like, we know enough, okay? So, I don't know. I mean, what would you say? Like, you...
Well, okay, so we have a friend.
Yeah.
Who, honestly, her and I look pretty much the same, at least in coloring. Uh-huh. And so I was like, wait a second. It dawned on me one day, like, well, whatever she looks good in, I probably look good in too.
Yeah.
I had bought a lot of tan recently and I just wasn't feeling myself. You know, I wasn't like feeling
I
like
am
my
so
regular.
I'm so ready to talk about this. So. I'm so ready.
It's wearing a lot of tan, I was wearing a lot of off-white. Come to find out, not what you should be doing, Andrea. So I accidentally went with the trends. I fell to them. Mm-hmm. And I kind of regretted it about 2 weeks in, but I didn't know why. I was just like, I'm just not feeling my best. I'm not looking my best.
Yeah.
Nothing feels... I'm working out all the time, but nothing feels right, you know? So I reached out.
I think at one point you said, like, you were just like... Like, it was inevitable that you were just going to be chubby.
No, actually. What actually happened was... The medicine, fun fact, that I ended up getting a year ago, mm-hmm. I had called Jamie after I went to a new doctor, and a girl, not, honestly, still shout out to the boy doctors, he did help me, probably saved my life, but that was it.
Oh, yeah, that's it.
The new girl informs me that this medication I'm on causes weight gain, and I'm over here working my butt off.
Like, literally...
All the time.
Every macro.
And honestly, I'm just like maintaining. Like, it's not like I was gaining weight. That's why I didn't think about my medicine as like being weight gaining. But she had said, like, well, do you feel like you're like, are you able to lose weight? I was like, no. And she was like, huh? Well, you might just be maintaining. I was like, and then I found out it also makes me tired. So I had called Jamie. I was calling everyone. I left that appointment. I called. I can name 5 people. None of them answered, FYI. It was like 11 a.m. on a Monday. So none, they all worked. None of them are going to answer.
Yeah.
And so no one did. But the first one I got on the phone, I said, my medication makes me chubby and tired. And that is what I learned. I am chubby and tired. And so that was sad. So there was a time I was like, whatever, I'm going to stay chubby. But it's if I'm going to be chubby, I'm going to be in my right colors, okay?
So it's sad because you were working so hard for
it. And then it was, like, all pointless. It wasn't pointless because I guess I did, like, maintain where I was, but no, screw that. It was pointless.
Yeah.
I'm, like, going after the six-pack I had before kids, and I am not getting close. I don't even think I'm going down a pant size.
I don't have anything to say. I'm not commenting on your weight.
Anyway, I've since changed my medication, and it actually is a little bit better, so great. Anyway, yeah, so there was a time where I was just going to be chubby and tired for the rest of my life, and I just felt like that was inevitable.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I was at least going to be in my colors while I did it. Mm-hmm. So, give me that evergreen, you know, give me a good red, or whatever my colors are. I still don't know the colors.
Is this color in
your
red? Yeah. Or, I mean,
it's basically like the contrast of every color. Yeah, okay, so come to find out. So I reach out to our friend who, again, we look very similar. I'm like, hey, do you happen to know, have you ever actually gotten your colors done? Mm-hmm. I think this is a very Midwest thing. I have spoken to my friends from New York about this, and they look at me like I have six heads. So I don't know how common this is. If you're from the Midwest, I hope you're vibing with us. If you're not, new information.
Yeah.
It does matter, though.
It changes things. It is about $300 to $500.
To do it. I was like, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing that. But this, like I said, this friend and I look the same, and there's like four color options to choose from. So I'm like, surely one and four. It's actually a little more in depth than that, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So anyway, she ends up telling me, like, no, this is what you wear. This is what you don't wear. This is, I mean, she's very in depth about it. It's the same friend Jamie reached out to later on. But what she tells me is like, Ange, we do not wear tans, no off whites, no, like basically everything I had just refurbished my closet with. Mm-hmm. Sad. But I felt okay. Like, I know that. Great. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to change it. I would still wear it sometimes, maybe with like a black over it, like something that still helps. So anyway, all that being said, started wearing my colors. Love it. Awesome. I'm a, I don't know, deep winter or something like that.
Yeah.
And then come to find out, like, all the colors are actually in your color wheel. It's just the shades that you should veer from. So like, I can wear white, but it has to be like pure white, not off-white. You know what I mean? Like, I could wear, like, a brown, like, a deep brown. I can't wear tan. Mm-hmm. You know? So, it's, like, the color wheel of...
Yeah.
That's why I left it, Lauren. I was like, all these colors are literally the same. But, okay, looking back, I'm like, great. It's her shade. She knows she's supposed to wear it. Fine. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Still not paying for it, but I got it for free, in my opinion. I cheated the system. Jamie, on the other hand.
I'm still upset. I am so mad.
Jamie asked our same friend. They don't quite have the same color scheme.
No.
So it wasn't a for sure answer, but she did give some thoughts.
I did. And to know me is to know I wear tan.
Often.
I like a monochromatic moment. Okay?
Honestly, the world does.
Yes.
To be fair. Like, it's very trending.
I love to wear all navy. Mm. I love to wear all black.
Well, navy is probably a good look on you.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it on here. I love to wear all tan. Like, I think that is fun. So I reach out to this friend we will not name. And I say, wait, guys, like, what is my color scheme? Because I can't, I don't know. Like, I can't figure it out. Like, I don't want to pay for it. Like, can you just, like, help me?
Though, to understand? Be honest, we're really trying to get Jamie to pay for it. So if you'd because, like to sponsor no, no, more no. things in our Listen. Life, Nintendo Switch for Ange, colors for Jamie.
We're trying to get me to take it because nobody can figure out what color scheme I am.
Yeah, she's too many colors. She has all these different colors.
I want to be complex in my life, but I'm not interested in this. Like, why is this, like, happening to me? Anyway, so she responds and she says, I don't know what you are, but I know you're not tan.
Which, like, you did ask.
But I was so offended because I wear a lot of tan and she sees me in tan a lot. So, like, here I am thinking in my head, like, oh my gosh, she just thinks I look horrible every time I wear tan. That is hard to hear, okay?
Even though that's not what she would say, she would just say, it's not your best color.
I don't want to hear it. So, anyway, I am currently, like, trying to figure out what my color scheme is. But essentially, I'm poor and everything in my closet is tan. So, I have kind of just accepted, like, I'm going to look ugly.
Just like I'm going to stay chubby.
Yeah, like, so. That's kind of where I'm at in my life. And, you know, I just kind of have to accept it.
Yeah. 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 I don't accept that for you because you could pay a quick $300 and really get that problem solved.
I am
solved,
not paying a quick $300.
Hey, listen, it's changed my life. Not really. Like, yeah, not that drastically.
Exactly.
But
it hasn't.
It has, though.
Are you still living your best life?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
So, like,
I'm living a better life. I would arguably. When I go shopping now, I know, like, the 6 colors I'm looking for, roughly. And I buy them. And even if I really love a shirt, if it's tan, I'm like, no, I will not succumb to you and your seduction.
I don't like to wear color.
Me neither, but I've had a start. And honestly, I get a lot of compliments.
I'm not doing this for compliments.
I am.
Okay.
So that's where we differ. Like, tell me I look good, okay? I'll take it.
I am, everybody listening, going back to brown hair.
Yeah, going dark.
So in like 4 days.
Yeah.
But this probably won't be out by then, so.
No. So, congratulations, she is dark.
Yeah.
We're already there.
And if it's horrible, you know what? Like, don't tell me.
It won't be horrible, not with Jody doing
just
it.
Just don't tell me.
She's going to bring it to a slow fade.
Honestly, like, I'm still working through the tan moment. Like, I'm still trying to recover. So.
Meanwhile, I'm over here. I love feedback. I literally said, please tell me every color not to wear. Don't wear tan. Don't wear off-white. I was like, great. Notes. Taking notes.
The last episode we recorded, we talked about feedback and how you were like, I want all the feedback. And I said, don't. That hurts me. So we're still the same in that.
Good. So that's how we haven't changed. Talking about all the ways we have.
Yeah.
There you go. One way we haven't.
Okay, we're going to wrap this up. What's trending in your world?
Okay. I'll share this one because I'm not done with it yet. So if you know me, I don't really like reading fiction ever.
Yeah.
At all.
Matt Haig.
Yes. But I do really like this author. He wrote The Midnight Library, and that one's also good. But I think this might be a newer release of his. I don't even know. But I started reading it recently. It's called How to Stop Time mm-hmm. by Matt Haig. And it is so good. I am so impressed with probably the amount of research he has had to do to write this book mm-hmm. that I just, like, love it.
What's it about?
Well, it's, like, essentially about this guy who, like, can't die. Like, he's been alive for centuries. Like, I think he was born in, like, the 1500s.
Yeah.
And he writes it to, like, now's time. So, I mean, he's been alive for, like, I don't know, 5 centuries, something like that. And it will, like, hop around his life, like, when he was, like, in the 1800s. And, like, but the way that Matt writes this, like, he is literally talking about the times as if Matt himself lived there. Like, he knows all this stuff. Like, well, this was happening in 1561. Mm-hmm. So, like, let's throw that in the book and, like, write about that. I'm like, he's, like, not making this stuff up either. I've Googled some of it. I was like, that actually did happen in the 1600s. What? Like, who the freak knew? Probably a lot of people. Not me, though. Because you know me in history, just kind of,
yeah,
hey, no, I know what I need to know.
That is not your strength.
I know what I need to know, and I let everything else go. So I was impressed. I was like, wow, he really wrote this, like, well. Like, really well.
Is it an allegory?
What? It's an allegory.
Like, it's like The Alchemist or something.
Yeah, he writes in first person.
That is not what I mean.
It is like a metaphor for something bigger.
Here's the definition. A story, poem, or picture that can be interpreted to reveal a hidden meaning, typically a moral or political one.
I could probably think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think everything Matt Haig writes has an underlying like mental health component to it. Because he like basically taught like this guy, he can't love anyone and he can't be in a relationship with anyone because he has to move around for every 8 years. Because all these like scientists want to kill the people who are like him, who can like live almost forever, basically.
Yeah.
So he can't, no one can know that that's like what he is. So he's alive for all these centuries, but doesn't actually have a real relationship with anyone. And I was like, that's deep.
Yeah, it's not an allegory.
Did you look it up?
It's a historical fantasy novel, and it's not new. It came out in 2017.
So then he's writing it to the 2017s. Which is, like, still basically our time.
Yeah, totally.
Give or take a couple years.
Yeah.
And when did he write Midnight Library, then?
Probably after that.
You think so?
I think
that
so.
That came out after?
Yeah.
I guess it doesn't surprise me. Well, How to Stop Time is so far one of my favorites of his.
2020.
Oh, and that's when that's not right when I read it, but it was very close to the time I read it. Yeah. I did like Midnight Library, too, so shout out to that one as well.
Interesting
but
that he calls them fantasy novels. Like, that is not what I think of when I think of fantasy.
That's probably why I told John he would like that. Well, because remember, John like wants to write these books about fantasy novels, and that is not where my mind goes either. When he says like fantasy novels, I'm like, the freak you talking about? But if his writing is called fantasy novels, then I'm understanding now what John is talking about. So it all just came together for me.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess it's a fantasy novel, but I actually really like it.
Okay, mine. I got Molly Boz's new cookbook, More Is More, and I told you this the other day, but like it actually feels like I would never just like think to make any of these things in here, which feels like a challenge, which I love. I mean, I love to cook, so I'm really excited to work through that. And I don't know if I've ever said this on this podcast before, but like I've always wanted to have like dinner parties. Like I've always wanted to have like a Friday night dinner where like anybody can come and like this is the meal, and I just, like, love the table. Like, I love that. The concept of that. So, I don't know what that looks like, necessarily. We used to talk about that when we lived behind Trader Joe's in that house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, and then COVID happened, and so it was, like, there just, like, wasn't the right time. But I think now might be the right time.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to do, like, a dinner party and do some sort of, like, specific, you know, new recipe every time or something like that.
Yeah.
So I think I love her. She's freaking awesome.
I don't know her, but I love her for you.
Yeah, you.
It's great.
I don't think she's for you.
No, I'm just sticking to, I'm cooking a lot more now than I was in 2021. I'll
tell
you that.
You're sending me a recipe every now and then.
Yeah,
and I'm shocked
I mean,
by it.
That's new.
It is.
For me. That new from 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So
thanks for tuning in today, guys. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And let us know what you thought of today's episode by tagging us on social media. This is Trendish. We'll see you soon.